I said disregard that email we made.
Okay, got it. So, Father, this moment is yours. We thank you for it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go there. I'm going to break down one of your favorite chapters in the world today and make you to understand that it ain't just what you thought it's been all these years. There's a message I'm going to preach one day, and it's called Jesus Always Got Something Up His Sleeve. And just when you thought he knew what he was all, you knew he was all about, and you knew what the Word of God was all about, and you knew what church, in this class called church, was all about, and just when you thought that you had a good handle on things, he go ahead and slide something else from under that sleeve to show you that you don't know nothing about nothing. And I'm happy to be that way. I'm happy. The Bible talks about always learning, ever increasing, never coming to the full knowledge of. And so I guess I'll start this way. You know, we define the word, and I even did it last week. We define the word perfect. We hear the word perfect a lot in the Bible, and we misuse the word perfect so much just in our regular everyday lives, and we don't know what we're talking about. We just kind of go along with the norm, what everybody say perfection is. But the Bible talks about us being perfect. You're talking about the perfecting of the saints. We're going to talk about it a little bit in Ephesians 4. So when we talk about perfection, we talk about maturity. We talk about wholeness. We talk about purpose, right? One of the main words we use is maturity, all right? But let me get you to understand something, that maturity, perfection or maturity is not a place to get to, all right? You're not going to reach. There's no such thing as reaching perfection or reaching maturity. Now, we have a problem understanding that because physically we think we've reached maturity in our bodies. I reach maturity because we graduated from here or from there. And so we consider ourselves to be mature. We like to use that word, you know, immature and mature. We like to use this word. Maturity is really a process. Maturity is a process and a progress. Perfection is a process and a progress. Or you can write down the two words, progression and procession. God told me something about Jesus and told me something about the scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, a lot of times it's not good for us to stay the same all the time. Right? Us persons. It's not good for us to stay the same because we got to ever increase, right? We got to be growing. But the Lord told me that Jesus is grown and growing at the same time. Do y'all understand that statement? That means fully grown but still growing at the same time. And I don't expect you to understand it because Jesus was all God and all man at the same time too. Just like you are. It's a duality of life that God has put on the inside of us. And so perfection, let me look in these notes. I want to give you this first before we go further and I let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say. Perfection isn't a place or a position. It's a process and a progress. And I wrote down, you know, we got a scripture, one of our favorite scriptures, herein is our love made perfect. You ever heard that scripture before? Herein is our love. And so I changed it. I said, herein is our love made progressed. Herein is our love made progression. Herein is our love made process. Here's our love made procession. It's a constant process. Your consciousness should ever, you shouldn't mature as in the common definition of the word, because that always means you're going to stop. That means you're going to end somewhere. That means you're going to reach a point, and there ain't no other points to go above that. But we know with God, that's impossible. Right? We know with God and the things of God and the word of God and even being children of God, being a church, that's impossible to reach a place of maturity where you don't have to grow anymore. The moment that you feel like you need to stop growing is when you start dying. Maturity in the common sense of the definition. All right, and we're talking about church unusual. Maturity in the common sense of the definition, what we call it maturity is when you begin to die. Because there's no more growth. There's no more need for growth. There's no more stretching of the mindset. There's a couple words, atrophy and dystrophy, and I kind of mix them up a lot of times. But a lot of times when you don't use the muscles, your muscles in your body, when you don't use them, they begin to die. If you don't use them properly, you just let your hands sit there, and it's almost impossible to do on your normal day of living there. But let your hands sit there for a long time and don't use it, and you begin to lose the power in your hand. I mean, the literal things that were put on the inside of the hand to make it be effective or functional will die because of non-usage, because you're not exercising that muscle. And so now your consciousness, your mind, is not to be set in its ways. When you're going to settle down, what does that mean? Set in your ways. You get it? And so maturity is a process. Consciousness shouldn't be, it's an ever-expanding, right? It's an ever-expanding consciousness. And so here we are as the church. Say, I am church.
I am church.
If you wasn't here last week, you missed that part. I am church. I'm skipping I am the church, because the makes it. We have to over. All right, amen. We have to come to a point to where we stop seeing God separated from us. The reason we can't believe like we should, or reason we don't manifest like we should, or reason we can't speak the word of God with the voice of Jesus, the reason we can't speak the things and they don't change like right when Jesus said they change, is because we still think that God is separated from us. We still think that there's a God in the sky and not a God in us. We still believe that we're somewhere just hoping for somebody to drop us off a gift somewhere instead of realizing that I am a gift. It's consciousness. Everybody say consciousness.
Consciousness.
See, we as I'm dealing with this right now, but we as church, we have to break this. Church culture and church consciousness, as it is in this moment right now, is one of the most concrete and hard things to break. The Bible says the tradition of men have made the word of God an ineffect. It's not that the word of God is not effective, but the traditions and man, if you add tradition with man, it becomes very ineffective.
Yes.
You add traditions with man's consciousness. Remember now, as I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. If I begin to think traditionally, it doesn't matter how out the box the word of God says something is, the tradition in me as a man will make that word of God an ineffect. Mm-hmm. That means that tradition in my consciousness as man will make the Jesus in me of none effect. Y'all understand that?
Yes,
so it is not that you don't have a greater power on it. It didn't allow me to say greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't a feel-good speech. That is the truth. Everybody say the truth.
The truth.
That is the truth. But if you don't line your consciousness up with the truth and not tradition, then you'll never walk in the truth. You'll never be free. You'll never be able to show anybody the way. Y'all understand that? Because if we always caught up in tradition, that becomes truth to us. I said last week, and I'll say it again, it is not the lie that's the problem, it's the lack of exposure to the truth. Just as this room is lit up right now, it was dark before you came in here. If you turn off the lights right now, it'll get dark, especially because we don't have any windows in here besides that one in the hallway. It'll be dark in here, but as soon as you turn on the light, the darkness dissipates. Same thing with the lie and with truth. But now, what do you believe? So I'm going to attack your belief. I'm going to bust your head with your belief this year. I'm going to attack what you believe church is. Because if we never get out of the box of what we believe it is, then we'll always be producing boxes. And we'll never produce freedom. Which is, come on, how long you been in the church? Come on. Come on, yell your years out. Come on. Forever. Come on, go, come on. Come on, yell them out. You know it's been boxes, right? I'm not talking about I'm not talking about I love my Word of Life Christian. I understand. I'm not talking about Word of Life by itself. I'm not talking about your name or your church by itself. I'm not talking about it. So don't be like, well, I don't want to say nothing. No. We all know what's going on. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We build a box and then we build another box. Then we get you out of there to put you in the box. Then we put you in another box. Then you got a bigger box around a smaller box with a bigger box, right? And boxes aren't the problem. It's not that a box is a problem. The boxes are important in your life. Your phone, your shoes, a lot of the things you got came in a box. But if you just leave them in there, what good are they? Yes. Anybody ever got a new phone before? Mm-hmm. It came in a box, didn't it?
Right.
You just leave it in there. Look at my phone. Look at that. Look. I got a new phone, y'all. You can't prove nobody unless you can use it. Can't nobody else use your phone either. You can't use that phone to help nobody. You couldn't call help from somebody if they needed help because it's still in the
box.
And so there's a God, for God so loved, John 3:16, for God so loved. All right, and I don't have to finish it, and then you know the rest of it, we'll read it later on, but God really loves his creation. I don't know if we really say that enough. We don't have messages about that too much. But God really loves his creation. God cares about his creation. God, I got a question for you. Are there things in your lives that are, how many of you have children? How many have children? Do you want your children to come out? Do you have an idea how you want your children to come out? Mm-hmm. Or some of them that came out and you still want to kind of change a little bit, right? Yeah. Right, right. Like, but you have an idea of what you want for that creation that came from. Mm-hmm. Huh? I can't hear you, huh? Yeah. You have an idea of what you want to happen. You have an ideal situation, an ideal level of success, the ideal thing that you want for them. Because why? Because you love them. Because you so love them. Right? And you have an idea and a plan and a set way that you want things to come out. Even in your personal lives, you have some ideal situations of how things could be, huh? Mm-hmm. You a little bit more money, huh? Amen. Come on, amen. Come on, a little bit. You want different things in life. You think about your goals. Goals, we do dream charts, right? And all the different things, we have an idea of how we want things to be, don't we? Yes. Why do we think God is different? Why do we never think that God has an idea or has a mindset or has a plan that he wants to be accomplished? Why do we never think? We don't think this way. I know the thoughts that I think, you said the Lord, right. Thoughts of peace. Now, we get that and we start personalizing it. And I get that. I understand it, everybody. So we should do that. But let's look at a wider span. Don't you think God got a dream board?
Yes.
And God got a plan that he wants to be accomplished? In his earth with his creation? God has an ideal situation, an ideal set of circumstances that he wants for mankind, not for the church people, but for mankind. And so God really loves his creation, all of them, not just the one that sits next to you in the seat on Sunday. But the one you got mad at today because they said something crazy to you. Or the one at your job. They should be bothering you. Or the one that cussed you out last week. Or the one that cut you out on the road yesterday. Yeah, them too. Gotta start praying tongues about them, huh? God has an ideal plan for success and for love for all of his creation. All right, I'm going to show you what Ephesians 4 in a minute, and we'll go back to when Jesus, the one out of two times, one time Jesus said the word church, as is recorded in the Bible. Here is the issue, and I have to give you a little rundown before we hit the scripture. Here is the issue of church as usual. You know, this class is called Church Unusual, right? But here's the issue of church as usual, right? And I don't even, that shouldn't be even in the same context. But here is the issue with church as usual. Church as usual is meant for control.
Right.
Now, control is not a negative word, okay? But it's what kind of control, right? Is it liberating control or is it condemnation control? Now, y'all know as sure as I know, and y'all been in long enough that we are the best condemners. Come on, everybody say amen. Come on. What I need in this class, this is what I need, y'all. Amen. This is our second year together, right?
Yes.
Y'all was with me last year, right?
Yeah.
So we know what's up, right? Y'all watching online, same thing. So y'all know we're going to keep it 110 if we can get there, all right? We're going to really be honest, and we have to be honest with ourselves first before we can change ourselves, and we can't change nobody else until we change ourselves, all right? We can't deal with nobody else's mind or minister nothing to nobody else that ain't been ministered to us first. I'm going to pass out something that ain't been passed out to me, right? That's ministry, all right? So let's be honest. We the best condemners, ain't we?
Yes, sir.
We the best judges. We know how to judge. We know how to judge. We know how to tell you don't look the part. We know how to tell you. You didn't pray long enough. We know how to do those things. We know how to, well, you ain't been here in a while. We know how to do all that.
Yeah.
We do that with the best. We get an A plus if that was a grade. All right. And this comes from the traditions of men. Man has got his hand inside of God's ultimate plan, and somehow got his way to come in there and kind of change it up and to be his way. Mankind. You know, even in the olden days, they used to read the Bible in Latin. So you couldn't understand it. So what would happen? I would come in and I'd read to you what I, because I'm the only person in the room that could read Latin. And I just happen to be the priest or the pastor or whoever. So I'm the only person that can read Latin. Kind of like the old days. Now, before Jesus, it was like that. There was only one. And God said, there was only one person that can go into the holies of holies. The priest, the high priest. All right? Y'all got that? Yes. But now the Jesus said he read it in two. Now everybody can go in. All right? There still must be order. Just like somebody taught you how to use the bathroom. And how to potty and how to wash yourself and all that stuff. There still got to be somebody to teach you some things because you don't know all things yet. Right. Which is what we're going to talk about in Ephesians 4. But yet there's a possibility for you to understand and God to speak to you on his own. And you can hear God's voice and hear the Holy Spirit for you personally. All right. But now here we are, even on the other side of Jesus, there's still a Latin type mentality where there's only one person that can read the Bible. And so the way it would come in, they come in and read the Bible, and you don't know what it says. Let me go back to slavery days. The reason they didn't want black people to read is because you couldn't understand what was going on. Right. All right? It's just principle of what it was. If you didn't understand what was going on, then we could write stuff, get you to pass notes and all kinds of, and you'll never get what's really happening. You'll never be free because there is no understanding. And so the same principle goes on. So now there's been in the church, there's been a hole of tradition and a hole of non-understanding and a hole, a place where now you can't really be what God wants you to be because you didn't understand. So Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Right? Jesus calls for freedom. Y'all get it? Everybody say freedom. I'm going to say it again, freedom.
Freedom.
I'm going to say it again, freedom.
Freedom.
Now see, freedom. Jesus died and was all about freedom for mankind. Yeah. Freedom doesn't mean reckless. It just means free. Let's go back over here to Matthew chapter 16. And we went over there last week. But we'll go here again. It's something that we're saying, freedom. The church has become a performing rights organization. And it's become a place to pay your dues. I'm talking about the building. Like we become a place to pay your dues. And we've made it that way because it's become a confessional. Huh? Come on. And so we've made it that way, we have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible talks about form and fashion. It looks like it, but it don't function like it. And there's more power that we're missing out on, and you'll miss out on that power if you really don't know what's going on. So now this is one of the occasions where Jesus talks about the church, and he didn't talk about it. One of the times he says church, and he says, verse 13, he asked him, who do men say that I am? 14, he says, some say Elias, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah is one of the prophets. He said, but who you say? 16, Simon Peter answered to him, thou art the Christ, son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed is unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see that? Verse 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. You see, changed his name too. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed. Where? We have a tendency to read, I told you this last year, Living by the Book class, and I'll say it again this year. That you cannot just go to the Bible for personal gain. you'll gain personally. Right? But your whole objective cannot just be for personal gain. I'll prove it to you real quick. When he fed the 5,000, you know the story, he fed the 5,000, right? There's a couple of things that had to be there. Number one, it had to be a seed, right? Had to be somebody with faith. It had to be Jesus right there with the power. But on the other side of that, there had to be people in order for multiplication to happen. If there was no people, there's no reason to multiply, to feed no 10,000 people. What's the point? There is no reason for overflow without people. Are y'all hearing that? There is no reason. A lot of times we're believing God for overflow personally, and there's no problem with that. But where are the people located? In your plan, next time when you get up in church on Sunday and say, we want overflow, Lord, I want abundance. Give me over and above, and exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask a thing. When, next time, where's the people? Where's that overflow? Or do you just want to be a fat cat? You just want to be loaded. There ain't no such thing. See, you'll benefit personally, but you can't go in to personally benefit. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What happened? But you see the order that he put it in? Mm-hmm. Did he say, but I know that you have need of all these things. Mm-hmm. But don't take no thought for them all. All I need you to do is, he didn't even tell me to find it. He said, seek the kingdom. That's it. Just keep going in that direction. And all that stuff be added. I give seed to the soul. He said, he that means the bread, the seed to the soul also give bread for your food. That means I take care of everything that you need anyway already right there. So you ain't got to worry about your needs no more because I gave bread for your food. All right. So now you take the seed that I gave you and sow it and I'm going to multiply. This thing is real easy, but the enemy. See, the reason Satan fell from heaven in the first place is because he was all about himself. I'm beautiful. I need some glory. Look at how I sing. Look at how I do it. I need glory, and it caused him to fall. And the same trick being played on us. And you don't even know it. Because you approach this scripture with your personal gain. You even approach church with your personal gain. All right, we have to get past. Are y'all ready for this? I don't know. Y'all better answer me now because are y'all ready for this? Because I'm not going to go. I can go back to the regular. We go back and read Ephesians 4 and I'll just say some regular stuff if that's what y'all want. Or y'all want to go somewhere? Okay. We've got to get past this me mentality and this because many of us go to church and we're diligent in church for that because we're scared that we're going to get sent to hell. Let's just be honest. We scared that if I miss a couple times, then I'm gonna be off base, and then I'm gonna be, and it might be true. Don't get me wrong, but we're so overly consumed with our connection that we miss out the connection, the big deal. See, truth of the matter is, I gotta jump here now, and I gave this example today. Truth of the matter, Lord, give me an example, man. You cannot let your mind be stuck in its ways. All right. If you keep letting it expand, God will expand it. And truth of the matter is, I asked the two, I said, if we ride in the car, me and you ride in the car, any one of us, me and you ride in the car, and I got a pound of cocaine in the car, and the police pull us over, who going to jail? Uh-huh, yep, both of us. It don't matter, both of y'all. It don't matter, you can be innocent whether you knew or not. You in the car. So we both liable because we in the car. We in the car driving, you on the passenger seat, I'm driving, I'm drunk out my head, but I'm driving. Who got the possibility of dying? Everybody. Why? Because everybody's in the car. We fail to realize that in this thing called life, we are all in the same vehicle. Yes. For some reason, we think it's us against them. For some reason, we think that we are separated. Or what happens to us or what happens to them does not affect us on this vehicle we call planet Earth. And so we have this separatist mindset. We have this competition mindset. We have this we just have this mindset to where we don't understand that we are all in this thing as mankind together. Yes, I understand personal responsibility. Yes, I understand that being to you according to your faith. I do understand that, but we also have to understand the bigger picture. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It wasn't that they were killing him, because Jesus knew he had to die. Yeah. But Jesus saying, you don't even know that what you think you're doing to me, you're doing it to yourself. Right. We are in this thing together. I read a scripture today, and it's going to be a little, I read it a little while. He said, God say, I make the sun rise upon the good and the evil. And I make it rain the same way on the just and the unjust. We are all God's children. I remember I was one of the ones. My parents have four children. I'm the middle child. There's Leroy Jr., Sean, and myself, and Darnell, right? And we all had different demeanors. I just happen to be the one. I probably still am the one that's just a little rowdy. Everybody got, if you got more than one child, you usually got different demeanors. If you got one, they just might have the demeanor, right? It's just, right? It's just different. And you know which one's which ones. You know, I can't let them stay there by themselves, because if I let them stay by themselves, yeah, they're going to tear it down. Somebody got to stay there. Right? You know, that was probably me. I'm okay with that. So, just because I might have caught more whoopings than the rest of them, which I did, doesn't mean that they love me any less.
Right.
I just needed some more. The Bible says that those who are less honorable bestow more honor upon them. Mm-hmm. What about that scripture? We skipped that one. You ever read that one before? No. Those who are less honorable, those who don't, they don't be on time for church. They don't be at every service like you be at with perfect attendance. And God bless the perfect attendance. They don't do everything like you should do it. He said, take those and bestow more. Who needs more honor? The connotation that we have in common day is turn your back on them. They're going to learn the hard way. Or get the switch out and beat them all across their head, right? And sometimes the switch is needed. Don't get me wrong. But love is whatever's needed when it's needed. Sometimes for me to get out of, to climb out of a place, I don't need you to beat me.
Right.
I need you to teach me.
Right.
You get me?
Yes, sir.
There is no one way to do it all the time. Jesus never did the same miracle. He just didn't do the same. He lay hands on the blind man, then lay hands on him again. He opened up. The other time he spit in the dirt, put in the man, tell him go wash. Right? One way he do it, another day he do it, another day, because he's realized, but it's all out of love, and people were all involved.
Amen.
There's one element that we tend to miss in modern day church, and it's people. And I don't understand what my mind, the way that I approach this word, I cannot approach this word without thinking about helping others. No scripture in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
None. Even the greatest commandments say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Second, like love your as you love your self. Now there's an understanding, and it's true that I'm gonna love my neighbor just like I love myself. So I gotta learn how to love myself, right? But then also learn how to love myself through loving my neighbor, because we all one. We all in this too. How you learn to love yourself anyway? You ever thought about that? Think about it a minute. Hey, when you get in the mirror and say, I love yourself. Self, I love you. You start saying different little stuff to yourself, writing a little confession, affirmation, and then praise God for those. But how do you end up loving yourself? Just how you end up doing it. There's more, you'll find out more about loving yourself and other people than will be with yourself. It is not until you've been unlovable do you realize how much love is important. It is, listen to me, y'all. We don't like unlovable situations. We live this fairy tale Christianity. We want everything to go right all the time, every time. No bumps in the road, but we expect to be strong on the other end. Well, you know, resistance makes strong.
Right.
When you're lifting weights, you got to have some resistance. If it's too easy, you ain't growing. Pressure makes you grow. And so a lot of times, I used to be the guy that just, you know, I don't know why they could do that. How could they be that way? How could they say those things? How could they feel? How could they? I don't know, because it's judgmental, you know, condemning. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. They don't condemn you. I ain't condemn you neither. Your father don't condemn you. But, you know, I don't know how they could do that. Because, you know, my little hands are a little clean. And they hadn't experienced no little dirt. I've been inside the box all the whole time. But you get out the box and where the real dirt at, and you realize, uh-oh. Come on, amen. Y'all don't want him. Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. Yes. Amen. Nobody don't talk about it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with us. See, we don't. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what else? Oh, what's your testimony? We don't want to testify. We don't never hear them testimonies. You don't testify about that one, the dirt on your hand. I'm going to testify, right? Can I testify, y'all? Can I? So look, now you got something on your hand. It got on your knees, too. And you realize, you look around, you realize you're kind of dirty. You kind of dusty. Hold on. But no, how could you do that, Montrell? Now the conversation then flipped. And it's not until the love of God comes in and meets you right there in that spot where you thought he wasn't looking for you. See, in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hid. They hid themselves, they hid their bodies, and then they went and hid somewhere because they thought God couldn't find them. But you realize God sees everything. And I'm prone to believe that they came back and said, God, listen, we messed up. Listen. Hey, God, listen. Yo, straight up, we messed up. I know you told us not to eat from that tree. We just got a little, we ain't know what was going on. We ate it. Please help us, please. I'm sorry. You know, you'll never have no record of them saying they sorry. Go read your Genesis. You never have a record of them repenting. And so you hide. But it's not till that hidden and dirty moment, you're down in the hole and you're dirty and you're absent from light. It is not until that moment that the light comes in. And now the first thing you're doing is you're thinking exposure. I don't want them to see me dirty like this, right? But then the light comes in and doesn't bring, you can become convicted a little bit. You know, you already know you're dirty. That's why you was hiding. You don't really need a lot of conviction. That's why you was hiding. But that light come in there and sheds light on you, but the same thing that's in that life is the cleaning power. Right. I mean, God has spoken to me sometimes on some spots, man, and I just thought he wasn't supposed to be talking to me that day. Yeah. Anybody ever had a day like that? Come on. Yeah. Come on, don't be religious right now. Come on, be religious. You got a day. He wasn't supposed to talk to me that day. And he gave you the most powerful revelation in your life? Yes, that's just like God. That's just like God. Now, more people knew God that way, more people come to God that way. Absolutely. If more people knew that Jesus Christ wasn't a condemner, I don't even know where this rhetoric came from. I'll read the gospel. Anyone of y'all read the gospel before? I'll read the gospels. Who brought this in here? I know who brought it. We let him slip it in on us. Then we don't want to change our mind. Anytime you get used by the enemy, you become the enemy. Are y'all ready for that one? Anytime that you allow the enemy to use your mind and become carnal, you immediately become an enmity against God. That's Romans 8. For the carnal mind is not subject to God, and neither indeed can be. The moment that you allow the enemy to use you, you become the enemy. So now, I jumped ahead of myself. It's freedom. Everybody say freedom. Now, when I see, and I said unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. All right, who church it is? His church, right? Then he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? And he said, I'll give you keys. And whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loose in heaven. So we take these scriptures, and you know how we do it. You know, we just start yelling out whatever we think we need to be loose in our personal life. We just start yelling out situations and subjects. Loose my money, right? And your money need to be loose, amen. And loose my family, loose my mind, loose all, right, and all this stuff. And we never realize that there's people involved. You ever thought about on the other side of those gates were people? You ever thought about the gates of hell being a jail cell for people that couldn't get out? The Bible talks about would they be able to recover themselves? We'd be able to help them recover themselves who the enemy has had at his power. That means the enemy got some people locked up. Do you realize that some people do the things they do because they're locked up and they don't know it? Some of the ones that you're judging just hadn't had the opportunity for freedom. Right. Wow. So I'm going to tell you, the gates they won't prevail against the church. You, who say, I am church.
I am church.
So now the gates, when you get to the gate won't prevail. So those that have been locked up, you'll be able to free the bound. And then he said, I'm going to give you keys. So if I get through the gate, jails are like this. You go inside the jail, everybody's ain't running around where they want to be. Huh? When they even move around, they call it the chain gang. So when they chained up and they cuffed up, even if they were outside of the gates to get outside of the doors, outside, they're still bound. They still can't be what they're supposed to be because they're bound up by the ankles and by the arms. So now I give you the keys and whatever you. If you just stop thinking about your stuff for a minute. Can we stop for a minute? A quick second. Just stop. Some of them issues in your life will get answered when the issues in somebody else's life answer. Be not see God's not mock whatever man saw it. It's a mindset that we got to get over. It's a mindset that we've allowed to slip in. And we become very self-centered in our churchy ways. One of your favorites, Ephesians 4 talked the same way. I didn't realize today until I read it all the way today, it talks the same way. The apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, affecting the saints, working the ministry, edifying the body, that's for people. That ain't for whatever kind of ministry you're trying to build. Your ministry ain't, the word ministry don't even exist without somebody to be able to receive something. You realize it's passing out? It don't even exist unless somebody's there to receive. What's your favorite? What's your favorite 23rd song? What's your favorite one? Is it one of y'all favorite? Anybody know 23rd song? Anybody can quote it? Right, when I started off, y'all gonna know this. Lord is my shepherd. Uh-huh. I know y'all know how we do. Lord is my shepherd. Now we're gone. I shall not want. Oh, that's your favorite one? All right. Part B. All right, I got it. I'm gonna go read it. 23rd song. Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. Making me lie down green pastures. Leading me beside the still water, right? And what did he say? What did he do next? He restores. Go. Turn it. I ain't gonna test you. Live by the book's last year. I ain't gonna test your memory knowledge. I ain't gonna do that to you, right? And I read this thing, man, the other day. And I heard a pastor. I went to an event. And I heard a pastor preaching about it, but he didn't even go all the way where I thought he was. But God took me there in a second. And I didn't realize, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Making me to lie down in green pasture, he's leading me beside the still waters. Wow. He restored my soul. Are y'all there? Yes, verse 3, he leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're reading this at the funerals, right? Verse 5, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we've read that. How many of y'all have heard that before? And so we begin to say, when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, when I go through trials in my life, when I go through problems in my life, he going to be there for me, right? He's going to prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So they can be all around me, but I'm going to be calm and comfortable and eating right in the middle of my enemies, right? And praise God for that part. Praise God for that sermon. All right. But the Lord taught me something about this scripture. And if you don't realize what I'm about to say, and I'm going to take it to another one. Jesus said after this, if you don't realize what I'm about to say, you're going to need to get a revelation of this so you can understand what you're really doing here at the training center. What you training for? Ministry school. What you about to pass out? Two. So it says, Lord is my shepherd. It means my God, my leader. I'm a protector, right? He's my shepherd. So wherever the shepherd goes, we take the flock, right? So I mean, now wherever we're going, wherever the shepherd says to go, that's where we're going. Right. We can agree with that, right? Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, okay. I ain't got no wants for nothing. So I mean, not only is he leading me, but then he giving me everything that I need, huh? Sound like God, right? He making me. He don't ask me. He don't give me an option. He make me lie down in green pastures. What's green? Green pastures signifies prosperity, signifies everything you need. Green pastures instead of brown pastures or scorched pastures. Green pastures, right? He leading me beside the still waters. What kind of waters? Because they're all rough waters out there, but he lead me by the still. That means calm, peace, right? He restores my soul. That means he brings my soul back. You know, you ever somebody restored an old car? He brought it back to the original state, shined it up, put a new engine in it, change all the parts out to make it just like it was in the beginning. He restores my soul. All right. Then he says, he leadeth me in the path. He leadeth me in the path with an S of righteousness. I mean, my right standing with God. Who God is and who I am with God and the right that I have and my rights in God and my rights that I have to stand upright in the throne room of God, right? He made me that way, right? He lead me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Now remember, I always say your name is not just those letters, but it's your character.
Right. Yes. Right.
You say in Jesus' name, you're talking about in Jesus' character. So now he leads me in the path of righteousness. For his character's sake. That means he wants me to walk in that same character.
Right.
So all of these things are setting me up for something.
Yes.
Lead me, shall not want, green pastures, restoring my soul, peace, still waters, taking me through the righteous so I can be like him.
Amen.
But then the next scripture seems like everything takes a turn. What did it say?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Though I walk through the valley. But shadow, we stop there. We like, yeah, but he gonna protect. Sometimes you gotta go through valleys. But we gotta understand something. If you're going through the valley and the Lord is my shepherd, all that stuff that before that, that means he led you over that way.
Right.
He never stopped being the shepherd.
Right.
So when we get what verse that? Five? What verse that? When the yea though I walk.
Four.
When we get to verse four, he didn't say, well, forget one and three. It's a new thing now, y'all. Y'all better get to praying in tongues. No, he's still the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Mm-hmm.
What did it say next?
Thou art with me.
So that means, oh, so not only is he lead me, but he. What's the next part? And I rod and I stab. This is what a shepherd would have back in those days. They beat the wild animals off.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the wild animals can't devour you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They what?
Come.
It's not like the still waters. Sound like peace to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like a shall not want to me, right? 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 The next part?
Now
thou prepares a table for me. Where? All right, so here we go. Y'all imagine this. I got about 4 minutes. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? I'm going to show y'all this. Y'all going to never forget this. I got a table. You hear me, Dante? I got a table in the presence of my enemy. Now we get to yelling and talking about, look, they ain't going to be able to get us now because we still think of us and them.
Right.
And even when we talk about the valley of the shadow of death, you still think about you. And you in a situation,
right.
you in a problem, you in a dilemma. If you stop, you know, we got so much faith for dilemmas. We got more faith for dilemmas and valleys and problems than we got for freedom and just hope. We believe in that. We believe in the struggle. You ain't never got to convince us about that. Ain't gonna be no struggle. You never got to convince us about that. We know they're going to trial and test going to come. And so we begin to allude to this as the same thing, but it's not. All right, y'all see the table?
Yes,
use your imagination. See the table?
Yes, sir.
Set with everything that you want on it. I didn't say you and your friends were there. It just said, pass me a table. So I don't know who else at the table, but I'm here. But I do know this. I'm here and there's a bunch of enemies around.
Yes.
Enemies. In the presence of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Table right there. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, we go off on our rhetoric. They're going to protect me even if the enemy's around. Look at y'all. You can lick your tongue at the enemy. You can't touch me, right? I'm missing the point. Then the next thing he says is, what he said? What he do? What he do? What's the anointing for? What do we need anointing for? What do we call? The anointing is the what? Burden removing. So that means if anointing shows up, or there's some anointing being poured out, there must be some burdens that need to be removed and yokes that need to be. Oh, and then he said, my cup does what? Now, why does my cup need to run over right then in the presence of my enemies? If my cup runs over and there's nobody else to receive what runs over out of my cup, it becomes waste. God is not about waste. So could it be, I'm going to say this and we're gone, you need to meditate on this. Could it be that God prepared a table for me in the presence? Could it be that he led me over there in enemy territory? Could it be that he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies and let all that stuff happen so that my enemies become my allies? Could it be that I need to feed my enemies instead of cussing them?
Right. Yes, Lord.
Could it be that I'm there in the presence of them and he prepares that table so that I can meet the needs and realize that, see, the only problem, the only reason that somebody's an enemy is because there's a deficit.
Right. Yes.
There's a love deficit. So because there is a love deficit, they don't know how to function. They don't know they're the enemy sometimes.
Right.
Yes. Wow. So it's my job to feed them.
Yes. Wow.
And it's my job to give them. Jesus talking about that. He said, if a man thirsty, give him something to drink.
Yes.
If he, well, who you thought he was talking about? You want to give your friends something to drink? No. And they need to get something to drink too. Yeah, I understand that. But there are people out there that we are calling. What, so Jesus said, Matthew 5, 44. We read Matthew 5 today. Verse 44 said, you ain't going to read it. He said, love your enemies.
Right.
Verse 44 through verse 48 tells the whole story. Because he said, "Be." I know time. But 44. Just go look at it. Hold on. I just want to read it right quick. Hold on. I'm going to use a little bit of your bathroom time. Then it says, verse 48, it says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. Then it goes on to say, if you love them that love you, what good you doing?
Yeah.
Love your enemies. So next time you think about that table prepared, pass some out. Next time that cup overflow, now your cup will overflow all the time if it's about people. Sometimes your overflowing is stopped because people ain't involved. You think about you and your four and no more. You can go read Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to read it a bunch of times this week before we get back together next week, and I want you to read it in that connotation, all right? And you're going to see the whole process of it. You're going to see the whole process. He's talking about the same thing. We are all one of another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.